Welcome to the Toot Paranormal Podcast, starring your host, the vampire Joe Shortage, and his sister who loves to do voices. What's up?
It is the Halloween season.
It's spooky time. It's spooky. There were ghosts. I don't know. I'm just feeling really goofy.
Yeah.
So Joe and I are here in the studio taping our podcast. We have a special guest with us today, but she won't be on the mic. Mama Shortridge is in the house eating a popsicle. Orange one for Halloween. What's up, Lulu? She got her mouth full of popsicles. She can't say anything. But anyways, I have some really fun stuff going on here, Joe.
Before you read that, do you notice something that I didn't even think about until today? I have not been to any libraries to listen to anybody's presentations because nobody's putting them on.
I know.
Because of the COVID.
The Rona.
I thought of that this morning. I'm like,
Rona's a howl.
That's what I really miss about this time of year, too, because that was so cool to go to all the different
libraries. You should do a Zoom one, Joe, and charge up $3 a person.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all the listeners must tune in. Yeah.
Just send us $3 cash app.
So you got some interesting facts about...
Halloweeners. 10 fun facts you didn't know about Halloween.
How do you know I don't know about
them? I'll do them real quick, because we got a really fun show for you today. The jack-o'-lantern comes from the Irish legend of Stingy Jack. Legend has it that Stingy Jack invited the devil to have a drink with him, but Jack didn't want to pay for the drink, so he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin. Instead of buying a drink, he pocketed the coin, kept it close to a silver cross in his house, preventing the devil from taking shape again. He promised to let the devil go as long as he would leave Jack alone for 1 year, and that if Jack died, the devil would claim his soul, or wouldn't claim his soul. Year after year, Jack tricked the devil again to leave him alone and not claim his soul. When Jack died, God didn't want such a conniving person in heaven, and the devil, true to his word, would not let him into hell. So Jack was sent off into the night with only a burning coal to light his path. He placed the coal inside a carved-out turnip and has been roaming the earth ever since. People in Ireland and Scotland began creating their own creations of Jack's lanterns out of turnips, beets, and potatoes. The tradition traveled to the United States along with immigrants, and they began to use pumpkins native to North America for lanterns instead.
Very interesting.
Okay.
The jack-o'-lantern.
Did you know that candy corn was originally called chicken feed?
No.
Love candy corn.
Can't get enough of it. Yeah, everybody says the way to eat candy corn is to open the bag and throw it out.
No.
I'm like,
it's delish.
It's just pure sugar. I mean, come on.
And honey. Sometimes it's made with honey. I like to bite the top off and then the next layer and the next layer. That's how I like to do it. The chocolate ones are good, too. You ever had the ones with the chocolate on the bottom?
No, I haven't.
Joseph Dean.
Yeah?
Trick-or-treating comes from souling. It says having children dress up in costumes and go to door-to-door like little beggars demanding treats is kind of weird. Like several other Halloween activities, the tradition can be traced back to the Middle Ages and the rituals of Samhain. It was believed that phantoms walked the earth on the night of Samhain, so people would dress up in costumes in an effort to repel the spirits. It says as the Catholic Church started supplanting pagan festivals with their own holidays, like All Souls' Days, the act of souling became popular, and poor children and adults would go door-to-door dressed as spirits, accepting food in exchange for prayers.
Yeah. I did know that one.
Oh, Joe. Yeah. He knew that. You got a one bonus point. Okay. The most lit jack-o'-lanterns on display is 30,581 at one time.
Where was that at? Does it say?
New Hampshire.
Oh.
City of King.
Those New Hampshireites.
let's see.
Those crazy Duke boys.
Duke, get down, Duke boys. Sorry, I had to do it.
I'm dressing up as Bo Duke.
Oh.
I'm going to have my shirt open and...
You need to get
put some tight jeans on.
You got to get a flash, dog. Come on, flash. Mom's just shaking her head at us like, what the heck? You're going to love this one. Michael Myers' mask was actually a William Shatner mask. The classic 1978 horror film Halloween can be easily recognized by one image, the psychotic Michael Myers, his iconic pale face mask. Without a doubt, it's a chilling look that has struck terror in the hearts of partying teens and slasher films, but the movie crew was actually filmed on such a tight budget, they used the cheapest mask they could find, a $2 Star Trek Captain James Kirk mask, and then sprayed it white and reshaped the eye holes. Oh, that's funny. Halloween was originated from an ancient Celtic festival. Halloween we know today can trace its roots back to the ancient Celtic end of harvest festival. And during that time, people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off evil spirits. In the 8th century, in an effort to spread Christianity, Pope Gregory III decreed November 1st as All Saints Day and incorporated some of the rituals of Samhain. All Saints Day was also called All Hallows. And the night before, when the traditional Samhain festival was used to take place in Celtic religions, was called All Hallows Eve. Okay, so in Des Moines, they don't call it Halloween.
Des Moines?
Des Moines. Des Moines. They call it Little Beggar's Night. And it says that it began around 1983 as a way to prevent vandalism and give the younger children a way to enjoy Halloween. Each kids are required to tell a joke, perform, or recite a poem instead of saying trick or treat. And then the joke is, if April showers bring May flowers, what do May flowers bring?
What?
The pilgrims.
But up bump.
But in front. Ow. And then, last but not least, top 10 things you didn't know about Halloween.
Yeah.
We skipped a couple, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's not 10.
Well, we just, yeah. The White House is haunted.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know what that has to do with.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
But it's on this list, right? It says that the United States' most famous address has reports of several ghostly appearances and eerie sounds. That's not even including election years. Common ghost sightings are of Abraham Lincoln, who was spotted by First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands, and Sir Winston Churchill. Also, they've seen Andrew Jackson, David Burns, and Abigail Adams. Probably Halloweening.
I was going to say, I don't know who Andrew Burns is.
I have no idea.
Andrew Burns.
No clue.
Must be a president.
Do you remember how, did you go trick-or-treating when you were little? Did they, yeah? Was that a tradition? Like, do you remember like going out? That wasn't a thing back then. Probably not. Mom did. Yeah. Wait.
Yeah, they did back in the day.
Yeah. One time we went on a real dark street, was Hazelhurst, and my brother Tom was pounding on the door and nobody would answer, and he just kept pounding. We kept saying, come on, let's go to the next house. No, kept pounding. This man opened the door and he was mentally challenged, beat the stuffings out of my brother. We went home and told my dad, who was a policeman, and they reported it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it's trick or treat, so
yeah,
he gave him the trick instead of the treat, and he
beat the stuffings out of him. Yeah.
That's terrible.
It was sad.
One time my mom dressed up like Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
Was in the 70s or 80s. She painted her face and had a red wig and sewed her own costume. And remember the French fries bags from like those, they were paper bags. She took those paper bags and sewed them onto her costume.
I did. And I used Joe's sweater. Joe had a red and white striped sweater. I used that and socks to match.
I can't tell you how many times like we would just go around, like our neighborhood that we grew up in has like a big circle, like we're on a street and then there's like a round circle around that, and we would just go around and around and around. There was one lady who gave away popcorn balls, and nobody ever wanted to go to her house because she made these homemade popcorn balls that you break your teeth off in. And
Mrs. Schuster down the street, there was a lady called Mrs. Schuster.
Okay, you got to do her voice, though.
I don't remember her voice.
Derry! Hey, Derry! That's how she would talk.
She passed out religious tracts instead of candy.
It was a big hit with the kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then somebody would give us pennies. I remember, I would have a lot of pennies in the bottom.
Pens?
Yeah, some pencils. You didn't want a pencil. You wanted a freaking Hershey bar, right? And then there was somebody across Lasky, which is the main road we live off of at the time. And somebody was giving away full-size Hershey bars there on like West Oak or whatever it is. And I couldn't cross Lasky, so I didn't get my full-size Hershey bar.
We used to, I mean, okay, how the neighborhood is set up, it's sort of like it's a street, then a curved street off of it, and then there's a bunch of little ones in back. But there's apartment complexes, and we would go through the apartment complexes, and it's three stories. So you'd go down one hall, then down the, go upstairs, and then you come down the other side, and you'd hit the ones on the left-hand side.
I know. It was so funny.
We used to come back with bags, and we used pillow covers full. And we dump them out in the living room and go through them. And Dad would always tell us to look for razor blades.
That was before they x-rayed your candy, you know, like, or you could, I thought, couldn't you take it to like the fire station and they did something? I don't know. But yeah, that was fun. I remember one time my friend Corey Jones and I went out. And we went all around, and we had like a half a pillowcase full of candy. And some kids came up behind us and stole her candy bag. It's okay. She was diabetic. stole her bag.
So they saved her life.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
So I shared my candy with her. But remember, you used to like sort your candy, and then you would hide all your chocolate
because yeah.
you didn't want your brother to have the chocolate. You could have the Mary Janes and the other nougat things.
The pens and the religious tracts.
And what was the other stuff that I couldn't stand? Oh, black licorice and there was something else that was like bleh, nobody ever wanted, but it was like the maple nut goodies or something. Gross.
I still can't believe the lady made popcorn balls.
I know. She probably worked for a long time.
Were the size of a baseball or bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this neighborhood, even now, when you go in around Ma's neighborhood, there are thousands of kids.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we go over to Ma's house on Halloween just so we can see all the kids. And it's like the street is just full of kids.
Yeah. It's just one of those neighborhoods where people would like bring their kids and park at the end, like at the shop at the end of the street, and be able to take the kids around. You know, there were sidewalks and just a lot of people who passed out candy. Now it's kind of like hit or miss, like the people who pass out candy. But back in the day when we were young, everybody passed out candy, like everybody. And you could probably hit, what, like 100 houses?
Oh, yeah.
And
plus the two apartment complexes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you thought you were really cool when you went way beyond your neighborhood. You're down by Jackman School and stuff. And you're like, oh, God, I'm far from home.
And now it's only half mile.
I know. Seems so far back then. But, you know, just speaking of Halloween, so Joe and I thought this was really interesting since it is the spooky season. I know you guys are all celebrating.
It's not really Halloween yet, but it's the spooky season.
Well, anything in October is fair game, right?
You know, we're talking about haunted houses. And I really don't like going to haunted houses. Somebody asked me that a couple of days ago because we're into going on ghost hunts in haunted houses. But I'm not into the jump out at you.
The commercial haunted houses, like the PETA.
Now, when I was in high school, I believe, don't quote me on this because, you know, I have no memory.
Quoting.
I actually worked at one. At a place called Greenwood Mall. And this place is, the mall is still up, but they
Motorhead.
Yeah. Greenwood Mall is still there, but they use only half of it now.
Yeah.
It turned into like a big department store. There was a Food Town, which is a big grocery store here. And then next to it was a, I think it was called Hills, which is like a Walmart nowadays. So it was big. And that's the mall now. But I actually worked at a haunted house.
I remember. Do you remember? I don't know if you went with me. Saw Star Wars at the theater at Greenwood Mall.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to see Star Wars. I think that was like the first movie I can really remember going to see at a theater.
I still go shopping over there. There's a Family Dollar and mm-hmm. stuff over there. But like I said, it's weird because it's, imagine a mall, rectangular mall, real long, and they're only using like the front half of it now.
Yeah.
I'd love to go in there and see what it looks like now because the back half is like abandoned.
Yeah. So what did you do? Did you dress up?
We were in,
scare people.
We were in a coffin and it was kind of like buried. Uh-huh. And when the people would walk by, we'd open the coffin and scare them.
You probably got paid like $3.
I don't even know
night.
If we got paid.
You volunteer. You probably made the coffin out in mom's front yard.
We probably
or
did. I think the next year, mm-hmm. our brother Bill half buried it in the front yard.
Uh-huh.
And used it to pass out candy.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
So anyhow, we got some stuff about haunted houses. It's just fun.
Yeah. So, you know, we ask ourselves, why do we go to haunted houses? What's the big attraction? So, you know, fear is the most basic and instinctive reaction to our surroundings. Even the most unevolved creature, considered like a tadpole, for example, will flinch or squirm at a mere shadow. The fight or flight response is almost entirely unconscious and automated to respond to any time your brain senses danger. Way back in the late 1980s, scientists identified fear center. I can't pronounce this word. Amygdala.
The Watsahui.
Yeah.
That's the part of your brain in the back by where all conscious or all non-verbal movements come from, like your heartbeat, all that. Mm-hmm. It's in the back here. Right there. See it? I'll hold it up to the microphone so you can see.
So the fear center of the brain, it's almond-shaped bundle of neurons buried deep in each medial temporal lobe, and it's located just above the brainstem.
Uh-huh. See, I was right. Huh? How you doing? Hi.
Paid attention in his EMT class. It's responsible for decoding emotions and determining possible threats. So scientists discovered that there were few other areas in the brain that play a role in processing fear. The thalamus receives incoming sensory information such as sight, sound, smells, touch, and decides where to send it. There are two paths that this information can travel between, the beginning and end of fear, the low road and the high road. So the process of responding to fear is so instinctual. You know, why do people love to go to these haunted houses or watch scary movies, right? Mm-hmm. So fear is ingrained in most evolutionary basic parts of our brain as something to warn us of life-threatening situations. So why do some people seek it out?
Yeah.
There's actually more scientific reasons behind why some people become, I won't say addicted, but they just love to be scared. Mm-hmm. Dopamine, which is...
Yeah.
The main hormone released in the brain during scary activities. This hormone is released by the fight or flight response, and it creates a natural high that can't be replicated in any other activity, even SEX. Even more, studies have shown that people actually have different biological responses to being scared. So basically, someone's brain lacks like brakes on dopamine being released and the uptake into the brain. So what that means is some people are really going to enjoy being thrilled or scared or risky situations, while other people not so much. So I am risk averse, right? Like I don't like it. I don't want to be up on top of the Stratosphere Hotel by myself, looking over the edge and getting dizzy, which I did. I did face my fear though.
Yeah.
I went up there and I was like, oh God, get me out of here. But like Joe is a thrill seeker. He went up in a helicopter a couple weeks ago. Like
With no doors. And we banked both ways. It was
fun. And he banked. Over
Mackinac Island.
The bay. Mm-hmm. So we went over Mackinac Island, yeah. The bay. Did you see the bridge at all?
No.
To get over there?
No, we were on the other side.
Okay. So, you know, some people just, it's adrenaline rush. Like
it's weird because I can do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And... when it comes to edges,
yeah,
I'm not good at edges.
Yeah.
Like edges of cliffs, Even at my house, you know, when I'm trying to mm-hmm. cut the tree limbs, and it's like I can't get close to the edge. I don't know why.
I think that's just natural.
Yeah.
You know, like I have a friend, Rich. He owns this company. He's, they call him the godfather of adrenaline, extreme sports type thing. He scaled high rises. He's hang glided and broke every bone in his body. He's lights himself on fire. He jumps off of tall buildings, that kind of stuff. Like, no fear, right? Yeah. Like me, I'm like, I'm going to fall down these steps. And it's like three steps, right?
Do you know that I noticed when you were talking about that, when we interviewed Nadine and John, who are going to be on the Halloween show, mm-hmm. what was I talking about? We talked about scary movies, and did you know that in scary movies, we were talking about infrasound. Mm-hmm. Now, they use that in scary movies. You ever notice that when you're watching a scary movie, the music will change a little bit, and you kind of know that something is going to happen?
Yeah.
They put infrasound into the movies so that it shakes your body, and you get that scary feeling before something happens.
Those jerks, how dare they not tell us? They probably put subliminal message up there to buy popcorn and Coca-Cola.
Sort of like our show. If nobody hears me in the background going, share our show. buy t-shirt.
Buy merchandise. Go to our website and buy stuff.
So, which, by the way, if you're interested in supporting the show, just click on any of our books on our website, and it'll take you to Amazon. Then mm-hmm. do your normal shopping, and we get a tiny little bit of the sale.
Tiny piece of candy. one zygote.
Yeah.
So in other words, like, people get a kick out of the dopamine that's released in the brains during scary situations, and some people just enjoy being scared more than others. Even for people who have normal dopamine release and reabsorption cycle, the reason you will often laugh after the goblin jumps out at you in the haunted house, you know, that's the reason that it does. You, like, I don't know. By the time your brain realizes that there's no real threat, your brain has already initiated the fight or flight instinct. Shutting down the instinct releases dopamine and gives you that natural high.
Yeah.
So, boo.
Fear. Fear is a strong thing.
Beer? Did you say beer? Oh, no.
Beer. Fear. Yeah, beer is a strong thing. So there were actually people that have been killed in haunted houses. Yeah.
Stop. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So in September in 2017, a 21-year-old man named Chilong died after he was struck by a moving piece of machinery in a haunted house. Chilong made his way through a maze called Buried Alive.
Alive!
Which was part of a Halloween-themed festival in Ocean Park, Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes after entering the park, attendants found Chong unconscious in the maze. See, that's why you never go in a maze.
I'm amazed by that.
Local government believes that he entered into an area of mechanical operations that was not open to visitors. Yeah, that's an easy way out, isn't
it? Sure. Uh-huh. Conspiracy theory.
So Chong was pronounced dead at the hospital.
When they just put him in the...
Put him in the coffin.
Yeah.
Which, believe it or not, I've got that too.
Okay. All right, so a teen may have been scared to death in an Ohio haunted house. Props to Ohio, right? In October... this is 2014. A 16-year-old Christian Faith Ben-Gi visited Land of Illusion Haunted Scream Park in Middletown, Ohio. Haunted Land of Haunted Illusions. A seasonal Halloween attraction where her father's band was to perform that evening. She entered one of the haunted attractions and collapsed. She was given CPR by her mother and paramedics, but she succumbed to a fatal heart attack. She only had one lung, which put stress on the heart, and the coroner's office would later speculate that fear could have exacerbated her fatal condition.
It's true.
So don't they have, like, warnings before you go in these? Like, you got to sign this waiver.
And
like,
it's common sense.
If you have a heart condition or something, you shouldn't go through this.
Yeah.
Or you pee easily.
Uh-huh.
That would be my problem.
There was a school principal that accidentally hung himself in front of his students.
No.
in September 1957 in the small farming community of Yucatan, Kansas. Local parents and school officials were growing worried about the extent in which the high school seniors were hazing the incoming freshmen. Annual gymnasium parties commemorating the new pupils had resulted in too much roughhousing. So the English teacher, Betty Stevens, and the principal, William Herbert, devised something different for their students. Mrs. Stevens led the attendants to an old farmhouse down the street.
Mm-hmm.
So what she did was she had some of her students decorate the dilapidated house.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they did was put a noose in there, and it was supposed to be a fake noose. She actually, to get the children's attention, got up and put the noose around her neck and actually kicked the chair out, thinking that it was going to break and fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't. She actually hung herself in front of the students.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't there a show called The World's Dumbest?
Yeah.
It's probably not the smartest thing to do. Well, on that note.
Okay.
A fake noose accidentally delivered a real-life hanging. In October of 1990, a 17-year-old Brian Jewell was working at a Lakewood, New Jersey haunted hayride performing a stunt he had done several times before. Okay, like 17-year-olds should not be performing stunts.
Unless they go to Jack Harrison's school of
right,
stunt.
Yeah. In the act, he would simulate hanging himself with a fake noose, then step off a platform about 1 foot off the ground. That night, however, the noose, which was designed not to tighten, inexplicably choked and killed Jewel when he stepped off the platform. About 40 people unwittingly saw the hanging corpse as the tractor driver became concerned later when it dawned on him that he was not as usual delivering his usual scripted speech. Bum, bum, bum.
Its speech ended up being, ah.
That's terrible. Yes. Take that back. Oh my God, we just lost 10 listeners. Go ahead.
So in the same realm as that, there was actually people that thought these displays were part of the display, but are actually people that died.
Where at?
So the first one I have here is the mailman who didn't look twice. In 2013, a mailman in Denver. In 2013, a mailman in Denver came across what he thought was a very authentic looking Halloween decoration on someone's front porch, but it turned out to be an actual dead person. Just a day after Halloween, the man died on his front porch where he collapsed, and the first person to come across him was the mailman making his deliveries. He ignored the body, thinking that it was part of the resident's Halloween display. Once the Postal Service found out what happened, they released the statement saying, "We do know that the carrier delivered mail to that house that day, and he remembered something he thought was related to Halloween. When the carrier learned that it was not, he was shocked and extremely upset."
Aw, I bet. That would be very upset. Okay, here's interesting. A haunted hayride led to vehicular homicide. Bum, bum, bum. On Halloween night in 2016, a small town of Chunky, MS.
Is that really the name of the town?
Yes. I should live there because I'm COVID chunky. I'm not chunky, I'm chonky. You ever see that meme about chonky cats?
No.
It's like big boy, here she comes, hefty boy, chonky cat, and then it shows this giant cat and goes, "Oh, Lord, he's coming." It makes me laugh every time. Okay, a haunted hayride ended in a fatal disaster. The modest ride, holding just 10 guests, moving along a rural Mississippi countryside when tragedy struck. A large Ford F-150 pickup truck collided with the trailer carrying the people. Three passengers were tragically killed and the rest were injured. Now, how do you not see a giant hay ride?
Yeah, with a big tractor behind it.
Sheesh.
Going, chuk, and people going, hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. Actually.
And that's not a ghost in the background. That's my birds are chirping because they love to chime in on our podcast. Every time we tape, they're quiet all day. And then we start to tape and they're like, meh, 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 meh.
So in. Your birds are going crazy.
I know. They're talking. They're telling a ghost story.
In Los Angeles, 2009, a man's corpse decomposed on his balcony in full view of his neighbors for days because everybody thought it was a part of his Halloween display. It was actually the man decaying his own balcony.
You know it's hot in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
In October.
Police were called. And
police are on the scene, if you know what I mean. They passed me up because I'm running all the dope fiends.
Oh, okay. Anyhow, Mustafa Zaylin died from apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound on Monday, but wasn't actually discovered by police until Thursday. The body was in plain view of an entire apartment complex, and they all did nothing, thinking that it was part of his display.
That's terrible. That's disgusting. It probably smelled really bad. A man was electrocuted at Disneyland's Phantom Manor. A man was electrocuted at Disney. It was called the Phantom Manor. I've never heard of this, but... Oh, it was at Disneyland Paris.
Oh.
A haunted house ride at Disneyland Paris is designed to offer guests a frightful but harmless fun experience. It's heavily visited... mystery-based amusement park ride, but however, in April 2016, Disney cast and crew members made a grisly discovery at the Phantom Manor. A 45-year-old technician, name not released, was found electrocuted to death. Disney closed the ride, allowing the police to perform a proper investigation. So he's probably haunting that ride.
Yeah.
Is Disneyland Paris still open, or did that close?
I have no idea. I had never been there.
No.
Yeah. So those were true deaths that actually happened at haunted locations.
Bum, bum, bum.
I think we should go over some of the best haunted houses in the United States.
Breaking news. Dun, okay. Dun, dun. I got seven of them here.
I don't think any of them's in Toledo.
No. That's just your house because you have cats everywhere. Squirrels.
You know... I vacuumed up all my leaves yesterday. I actually have a yard vacuum that I vacuum my leaves up with. And I'm done. And I look out of my yard. And in the ditch, I see this thing standing up. One of the groundhogs is literally on its back feet looking around like, and all I can think of is, Ellen!
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 Ellen! Ellen!
I saw that in my front yard.
Every time I see one of those. You guys don't know what that is. You got to look it up.
Look it up on YouTube. Just Groundhog Allen.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yes.
Okay. So these are a number of haunted houses across the United States, which use advanced technology and elaborate sets to give their guests the ultimate spooky experience. So they are the top seven haunted houses with the scariest reputation. Number seven. Give me a little number seven.
I don't have my sound bites in front of me.
Oh, okay. Bates Motel and Haunted Hayride in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania. Bates Motel and Haunted Hayride, and we're not being sponsored by any of these. We're just letting you know.
No, I just found a good article about them.
Yeah. But if they want to, they can. Bates Motel and Haunted Hayride has been ranked one of the scariest and most entertaining haunted houses in the country by America Haunts, a national association of top-tier haunted attractions, which includes three chilling features. One, high-action Bates Motel. Two, hayride that will leave your heart pounding. And a revenge of the scarecrow's haunted corn trail.
The corn trail.
Bah, bah.
I was on this corn trail and it scared the corn out of me. You know, in the small town north of us, they have a train and they have the dinner train and all that. Well, they have the haunted train ride.
What? I have not heard of this.
I don't know if they still do it, but we did it back, I'd say maybe 15 years ago. And they were open cars so that along the way, along the tracks, there were people that would do like haunted things. Like there was a person sitting by a little fire and he'd jump up and scare you in the train. And I look back and our friend Chris. Now, mind you, this back when we used to drink.
I think this was longer than 15 years ago, Joe.
Yeah, it was. I look back, and Chris is relieving himself on the side of the train.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's one of the actors. Then the train goes by him, and the actor was just, like, staring up like, are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh.
It's the only thing I remember from that.
Oh, my Lord. Mother, will you please ground your son?
This is many years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so then the next, number six.
Number six.
Bennett's Curse. This is in Baltimore, Maryland. So it's a 40,000 square acre foot space that actually boasts four haunted houses in one. So first you walk through a medieval underworld, which takes you through a medieval abyss complete with a dungeon and terrifying monsters. The second haunted house is the Sanctuary of Insanity, which considers one of the most disturbing places in the house. It features an asylum with the criminally insane patients, dark hallways, a maze of prison cells, and pulsing music. Next, there's a 3D haunted house known as Infernal 3D, which offers visitors a chance to immerse themselves fully into one of the most feared places imaginable, the depths of hell. And then you enter the circles of greed, violence, gluttony, while confronting monstrous demons and other hideous creatures along the way. They probably have a picture of me up there. Scare everybody. Number five, Spooky World Nightmare, New England, Litchfield, New Hampshire. Spooky World. I think you should just like start calling your place Spooky World.
Okay.
Is just 45 minutes from Boston and features not just a haunted house, but other terrifying experiences. The outdoor attraction takes visitors to the spooky countryside before a whopping five haunted house attraction. You are brave enough to enter Brigham Manor, prepare for dark hallways, screams of terror, surprises around every corner. Visitors can expect spooky surprises like chainsaws, clowns, zombies. The attraction also boasts spooky hayride from hell, which is 1 mile long journey where visitors must face horrors such as spider infested campground and a compound riddled with terrifying, disgusting experiments. That's that.
Okay.
Number four, The Disturbance, the Haunted Hotel, San Diego, California. Located in Mission Valley, the Haunted Hotel is the longest-running haunted house in San Diego and is known as the scariest in the city. The attraction has many scary elements, such as over-the-top heart-pounding effects, the creepiest doll island you will ever come across, and a unique clown subway.
Oh.
I don't know if it's the restaurant or the train
car. It's probably the train car.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, well, I have a tuna.
Clown buns, I mean.
no toast. Okay. There are even emergency exits located throughout the house, as many of the people who enter cannot finish and luckily have the option to leave. That would be me. This park is not recommended for children under 10. Visitors should prepare for close-up encounters with actors, fog machines, low visibility, try to escape torturous grasps of the dissectors, and take the elevator.
The elevator.
And try to stay in one piece through the slaughterhouse at this terrifying walkthrough haunted house. Sounds
I want to go on the elevator.
I know, like, right? Elevator.
It never goes up.
Going down. Spooky World. Okay, number three, Cutting Edge Haunted House. Now, that is that really like the best name you could come up with? The Cutting Edge. It's in Fort Worth, Texas, which holds the current record for the largest walkthrough haunted house in the world. Filled with live actors, they're alive, mind-blowing special effects, horrifying monsters, this haunted house features multiple storylines and themes. Part of what makes this haunted house so scary is its location is in the abandoned meatpacking plant that has been turned into a human processing area. The warning on this haunted house includes such things as you will receive electrical shocks and be enveloped by creepy fog and vapors. The vapors. I got the vapors. And then you will be videotaped and broadcasted on their website with no compensation. And it's one of the scariest haunted houses in the country. So they say.
So they say.
Yeah. All right, number two.
Number two.
The Beast and the Edge of Hell, Kansas City, Missouri. The Beast in Kansas City is one of the largest haunted houses in the country. Features elaborate sets, state-of-the-art technology, a slew of talented actors, and an open floor mat, which means that the monsters come at you from all directions, keeping you scared and jumping the entire time. Prepare to get lost in the fog, roam a real-life werewolf forest, try to find your way through the maze. Your heart may stop at the exhilarating four-story straight shoot slide at the end, so to slide on out.
Slide on
out. The Edge of Hell is the other hand, the converted five-story warehouse, which offers an old-fashioned impact scare techniques, which include vampires, monsters, and a real-life 20-foot anaconda. My anaconda don't want none unless you got bones, hun. Do side bends, sit-ups. these haunted houses are generally way too scary for anyone under the age of 10 or those who fear claustrophobia or snakes. Do you remember the claustrophobic moment we had at that mystery spot place? The universe,
the black hole.
The black hole.
That was cool.
I love it.
I went through it a couple of times. What it is towards the end of this attraction, it's one of those Roadside America attractions. Mm-hmm. And towards the end of it, to get out of the building, you have to go through the black hole, which is just basically two giant airbags. And it's totally inflated, so it squeezes you. Yeah. And they're on the walls, and it's pitch black, and you have to slide through this giant airbag thingy.
In the dark. It was... and weren't they blowing air at you or something? Probably. Like that? I don't know.
And then, to finish it off, you had to go through the Vominator, which is... You walk across this platform and the barrel is rolling around you. So you think that you're like tilting on your side.
I totally thought I was falling over. I had to do it twice because I was like, I had to face my fear. But you do. You feel like you're going to tip over.
Yeah.
And then if you stop at the end and look, you could kind of see because the thing was coming down low. You could just see that was just this giant,
just the giant like barrel that you're in.
Scary. Okay, number one. Bum, bum, bum. Is this a 2020 list? I don't know. Okay. Kersey Valley Spooky Woods, Archdale, North Carolina. This haunted house has been running for 30 years, instilling fear into everyone that visits, and boasts the award-winning of being the scariest haunted house in America, as voted by hauntedhouses.com in 2015. Beware, the scary property is not suitable for anyone under the age of 12, and that as soon as you drive up to the property, you are fair game for every creature that resides here. It is one of the, not just one haunted house, blah, blah, blah. There's a slew of back-to-back attractions, which features everything from psycho clowns, evil witches, trolls, a corn maze, stalked by a forgotten spirit, mentally creepy mental hospital. There are special light effects, sounds, smells, feeling of claustrophobia, and contact with liquid substances. I don't even want to know about that one. No cameras, no flashlights, no costumes allowed in here. Just a willingness to be scared beyond your wildest dreams.
Scary.
Scary.
You know how bright I am? Okay.
Talk to me.
So while you were reading that off, I remembered that I was invited to go to a haunted corn maze
mm-hmm.
with John and Nadine.
Yeah.
And Chetan Noir.
Mm-hmm.
I kept thinking, how can a corn maze be haunted? Because we go to haunted locations to do ghost hunts. And it just dawned on me that it's not a haunted corn maze. It's a haunted house type corn maze. Tells you how bright I am.
Man. You know, who's the blonde in this situation, right?
It's as dull as my wit.
I don't know if I've ever been to one. I think I did what, one time. Maze? No, a haunted house. I think maybe back in high school we went to one, but I can't even remember.
I've been to them, and I just don't like the fact. One thing I really don't like is when they're pitch black and there's a maze.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to go through, and it's up, down, around, and it's pitch black, and you got to feel the walls, and I just, I just don't like that.
Can't do that with the Rona.
I think that the reason I didn't like it because I didn't have any control over the situation, which is why you go to these things. I mean, that's the whole idea.
Now, we have a couple here in our area, right? But I haven't heard anything,
you know,
if they're open this year.
I didn't hear any of them that are open.
Like the Haunted Hydro.
The Haunted Hydro.
Is that a boat or what is that?
It's a power plant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Haunted Hydro is ran by Crazy Bob. And it's one of the best that I've seen character-wise because I've met him and he's introduced the band a few times at some of the shows. And we were at a show, I think last year, Dead in Five did a show here in Toledo around Halloween season. And he was there promoting the Haunted Hydro. And the characters that he brought with him were done up so good that it was so realistic.
They have professional makeup artists working on that. That's like big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, some of these attractions have such good performers and such good makeup artists. It's not like when I worked at Greenwood Mall and we made a coffin.
Right. But yeah, you know, like they really take it to the next level now. You know, you just, if that's into your, that's the thing that you're into, you know, like happy hunting, go for it. Me, on the other hand, like to keep my bladder intact, so I will not be attending.
But it's so funny because there's so many people that ask me, do you go to haunted houses? I'm like, yeah, I go to real haunted houses. I don't go to the jump out and scare me haunted houses because I just don't like them. And I would rather talk to real ghosts than talk to fake ones.
Right. Well, props to all those actors out there giving it their best this season. But, you know, just it's that time of year. So if you guys, you know of any really cool ones that you want to, like, give a shout out to, you know, you can list it on our Facebook page. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page. And also go to our website, www.222paranormal.com. We've got some cool things up there. If you're looking for some ghost hunting equipment, we are selling our dowsing rods. Those are back in stock. So definitely get a hold of us if you want a set.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, last words?
If you want any real professional equipment, go to our website and click on Ghost Stop.
Mm-hmm.
They have some awesome equipment. That's where we get all of our equipment from. So
yeah, there's a link on our on our page. You can definitely go there. But you guys have fun. Be safe. Go out and be very careful. You know, Rona's scarier than the haunted houses.
The living
right now
are scarier than the dead.
That's true.
One other thing, too, before we let you go.
Yes.
I know it's here in Toledo, but the Toledo City Paper is running the Best Of.
Yes.
We would like to get nominated as the best podcast, locally produced podcast in Toledo. So if you could, go up to Toledo City Paper, Best Of. You just go on their main page and you'll see the Best Of will pop up. Go into the media and under locally produced podcast, please type in 222 Paranormal Podcast. They'll ask you for an email address, but that is just to make sure you're not a robot. And help us out. Vote for us. Even though you may not be in our town, we'd love to win.
Yes, please do. We would really appreciate that, guys. But as always, have a great week. Joe, final thoughts?
Just go out and have fun. Live your life.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
See you later.
It's scary.
I'm in my mode again. The verge of artificial over.